And, you know, the Lord quickened me one time in the Word. He was talking to the Israelites and talking to the children. He told them, he said, your words have been stout against me. You know, and how many knows we can, our words can be stout against the Lord out of ignorance, not really realizing, you know, and all of that stuff. And it can hinder the Lord because people have thought, and I thought at one time that God is sovereign. And God is sovereign, that God could do anything he wanted to do. But I begin to find out that God gave us this earth to rule in. You know, he gave us authority through the name of Jesus. He gave us a voice. And then he gave us faith. And then he brought the Holy Spirit. But the Lord told me one time, he said, I'm not in control of everything in your life. He said, I'm in control of what you let me be in your life. You know, because God is not like Satan. Satan will try to force his will on people. But God's not like that. And the Holy Spirit, he's a gentleman. You know, I mean, he's a gentleman. He don't try to push the will of God on nobody. But when we hunger, the Bible says if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, the right things, right way of being and doing, he said we shall be filled. Hallelujah. And I begin to think about today, you know, when there was this storm and I'd read in the Bible and I was preaching the gospel on the streets of Onion at this time. And I really didn't know the power of our words up to that point. I'd heard a little bit about it, you know, and read a little bit, but had no understanding. And how many knows you don't have to understand how the kingdom works? You can't figure it out. I mean, the Holy Spirit, he just works the works of God. But anyways, I wanted to go on the streets that Friday night and turned on the news, and it was just a thunderstorm all the way from Tuscaloosa. It was not going to be any let up. I mean, it's going to be an all-night, drawn-out thing. Thunder and lightning, wind blowing, all of that stuff, you know. And I got on my knees at the bed, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, stop the storm. I said, stop it, Lord. Stop it, I need to go on the streets, you give me a message, blah, blah, blah. You know, and all of a sudden on the inside, the Lord said, you speak to it. And I was reminded, this is what the Holy Spirit will do for you, you, me. I was reminded when Jesus was asleep at that moment when he said, you speak to it. I was reminded when Jesus was asleep in the ship and there was a storm come up and the ship was filling up and the ship was being destroyed and Jesus was laying in the hinder part of the ship, the scripture says, asleep. And they got afraid and they went and woke Jesus up and they told Jesus, don't you care that we're perishing? and then Jesus come up and Jesus spoke to that storm and said, peace, be still. And that storm stopped and then he got on to them. He challenged them. Why did you doubt? Where was your faith? Why didn't you use your faith? And I've thought about that incident, and I thought, me, I'm not Jesus, you know, and all of that, you know. And then I thought, but I've been given power in his name. We've been given the same authority that Jesus had walking this earth. How many knows Jesus was just a manifestation of the will of God on the planet? Jesus was God in the flesh. Jesus was the will of God. So what is God's will today? Jesus showed us what God's will is. It's his will that you be healed. You walk in divine health. Hallelujah. But anyways, I got up and I thought, me, you know, me. That's what Satan will tell you. Well, what am I going to do? What's my words going to do? He's a liar because you got faith. And your words releases your faith, what you believe. And so our words are very important. There's a lot of scripture about Christians' words. The world's going to say what they say. They're going to say what they feel. They're going to call it like it is and all of that stuff. But we're called out from that. We're called out. That's what the church means in the Bible. It says called out, called together, called an assembly. Come up among the world. Don't think like the world. Don't speak like the world. Hallelujah. Well, I got up, you know, and I just, in my heart, I made my mind up, you're going to stop. And so I just done out the window like that. I said, I command you to cease in the name of Jesus. See, it was getting in the way of the will of God. Whatever's in the way of the will of God in your life, you have authority over. Sickness and disease, that's not God's will for you. Right? Bondages, fear, torment, that's not God's will for you. And we see it in the Bible in Isaiah 53 where Jesus bore our sins, bore our sicknesses, right? Took them on Himself. She put up her. Surely He had borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. Okay, that's back in Isaiah's time. This is before Jesus went to the cross, but this is talking about Jesus. This was pointing to Jesus, that He's going to bear our sins, that He's going to take on our sicknesses and diseases and our oppression and all that. Hallelujah. And by His stripes we are healed. Already healed. And I've had people to tell me, well, you know, you can't have that confession stuff because you're really lying. And I said, well, no, I'm not. If the Bible says it, then I'm to believe it in my heart. I'm to say it out of my mouth what that Bible says. See, that's how I can get stout against the Holy Spirit and the Lord, to begin to speak how it is, how I feel, how people's done me, you know, how my body, what the doctor's report is. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, it plainly says whose report in there are you going to believe? Whose report will you believe? Well, we're going to believe the report of God. Hallelujah. I made up my mind back yonder, you know, 30 years ago, that I wasn't going to live poor. Poor no more. That I was going to, if I could find a good life in this Bible, then if God is really real, then I'm going to take that scripture and I'm going to believe that these scriptures are from God to me, written to me, sent to me through Jesus Christ, hallelujah, and the blood of Jesus sealed it, and I'm going to live in it. I'm not going to be arrogant. I'm not going to be high-minded. But if there's a good life in this Bible, if there's a good marriage in this Bible, I'm going to have it. If there's a good relationship with my son, my family in the Bible, then I'm going to believe the Scripture rather than what it is in my house. And I'm not going to go around speaking what is happening in my house in light of what the Word of God says. I'm going to get in agreement with what God says. And when I get in agreement with what God says in my heart, with a heart man believes. See, you don't believe with your head. Your head will mess you up. You believe in the heart. The Bible says with the heart man believes, Romans 10. With the heart man believes unto right. And with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Well, the same way we believe when we got saved is the same way we believe we're healed. Right? And then we have the confession. The Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, as we therefore have believed. Now look, there's something here you got to think about. I had Christians tell me that God didn't want me blessed. So as a man thinketh in his heart, right, so is he. But Paul said, now he's talking in light of God's word. He said, as we have therefore believed, therefore we confess. As we have believed. Do you believe you're healed? Well, then you don't confess it anymore. Anything other than that. I believe that I was financially blessed when I didn't have 10 cents in my pocket. Because the Bible says that Jesus took on Himself poverty that the body of Christ might be made rich. I didn't write that, but it's in the Scriptures. So when I read it in the Scriptures, you know, I would go back to these people and I would say, what do you do with that Scripture that would tell me that? When I knew that I was called to preach, it's not something I chose. Oh, by the way, Johnny preached Saturday and I missed it, and you're going to have to do it again. We'll have to do it again. Praise the Lord. And so... when I was called to had preachers to tell me, they would tell me, and I'm talking about our words. See, Satan was trying to get me to get in agreement with their words that was contrary to his word. They didn't mean no ill will. That was their lack of understanding. I don't know. But it don't really matter whether they understand or not. Words are seeds. The words coming out of mine and your mouth are seeds that are planted just like you plant a garden. You can plant a sick garden. You can plant a broke garden. You can plant an oppressed garden in your life with your words. Especially Christians, because we are born of the Spirit of God. We're born of the Spirit of God. So therefore, we're not like the world. We have a different spirit. We have an advantage over people in the world. I'm not talking about arrogantly. I'm talking about we have divine favor with God. We have access to the Word of God enlightened by the Holy Spirit that He can't do it to them. He's going to quicken them on salvation. And so, when I was called to preach, I thought, nobody's going to listen to me in Blount County, man. I'll have to leave out. Y'all have heard the story. I'll have to leave out of here, man, because of our reputation, my reputation, this and that. And the Lord quickened me in Isaiah, and that's what Jesus got up in front of the scribes and Pharisees and all that. And He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because He's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, heal the broken heart, open blinded eyes. And the Lord told me, He said, meditate on that. He said, say it over and over and over about yourself. Because my mind, I thought, how can that be that God's called me into the ministry and blah, 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 you know. And all of that, you know, and I thought, I don't know how to do this and all that. Well, every night, see, what I'm saying is God was taking the Word of God and transforming my thinking, getting it in my heart and getting me to say it. And so every night when I lay there, I pretty much quote Scripture every night. I talk to God at night and, you know, most of the time at night. And I talk to Him in the mornings, you know, but not really like I do at night. But anyways, you know, I laid there every night, and I didn't believe it. I know you're quiet, you're learning. But I didn't believe I could do it. God knew that I didn't. God knows what you believe. God knows what you need. That's why He brings us the Word of God and brings different things through teaching and preaching and music and all of that to get in us what we need in our inner man. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 18:14, it says the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in his infirmities. Sickness, disease, weakness, whatever. Well, I lay there every night. First, you got to go to the Word. Somebody say, go to the Word.
Go to the Word.
And then you got to memorize the Word. Somebody say, memorize it. That means you know what, where it's at, and you can quote it without going to the Bible. And then you need to say it over yourself every day. Every time you have a thought contrary or a circumstance contrary to what you got out of the Bible. Now, stay with the Bible. And so every night I would lay there and I would say, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Because you, God, have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. You have anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. We have the same Spirit of Jesus. Same Holy Spirit that Jesus had. You don't believe it? Romans 8:16, I believe it is. It says, if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, He'll also quicken your mortal body. Bring life to your mortal body, your flesh man, by His Spirit, the Bible says. Well, I've meditated on that one. That's how come I can quote it. Things I quote you, I've meditated on and I use. How many knows you got to use the Word just like you pull up there and go in there and pay for your gas. You use your money to get fuel, right? You use your faith. You use the Word to get the substance that you long for, hope for. Well, before you know it, I'm like, whoo! I'm a preacher. I'm trying to get people to let me come to their church, man. I done got in me. It done got on in. But what happened? It wasn't that God had called me that made me on fire. It wasn't that God had called me, you know, that put that in action. It was me getting in agreement with God, with the written word of God and the Holy Spirit, and then he was able to ignite what he had placed on the inside of me. He's put healing on the inside of you. How many knows the healer lives in you? Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? Well, Satan, I mean, people's told me, well, you don't really know if sickness comes from the devil or whatever, you know. And I said, it'd have to. I said, he's the God of this world. He was cast down. I said, he's the God of this world. I said, what does the book of James say that comes from God? All good things come from God. Well, is cancer good? It's not, is it? Well, I mean, sickness, disease, flu, COVID, all that. Well, where'd it come from? God didn't send it. Jesus, the Bible says in Psalms, Jesus prayed this. He said, I would that it be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, how is it in heaven? Go study the scriptures. No more sickness. Listen. I mean, if you've got a problem with money here, you're going to be ashamed when you get there. I mean, you're going to be walking on streets of gold. Walls of jasper and onyx, man. I'm talking about in light. He is light there, radiant. And he wants you to experience a little heaven on earth, the scripture says. Hallelujah. So, you know, I mean, people at times they would say, listen, Scotty, with all that confession stuff. And so I'd go back later on and I'd say, what did Paul mean there? As we help believe, therefore what? Shut up and think on it? He said, confess it. He said, if you believe God's healed you already 2,000 years ago, then why go around saying what your body feels? I believe if I'd have went how my body feels, I believe I'd be on disability right now. I believe I'd be laying up in the house trying to wish I could go preach. I believe it. Why? Because I have experienced the symptoms. Symptoms in this dead legs and the symptoms. I mean, I went to the chiropractor and said, yeah, you got some arthritis. That's why you can't get full. And I left out and I said, glory to God, that's not mine. That don't belong to me. You know, and I told the Lord, I said, you redeemed me from that. Now I got a name. And the Bible says that the name of Jesus is above every name. The authority of Christ is above every name. And so it has to bow its knees to the lordship of Christ in you and me. And so I left out of there and I said, now I know what to do. So I said, glory to God, thank you, Lord, you redeemed me. According to Galatians 3:13, you need to know that one. I've been redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death. That's under the curse of the law back yonder. Arthritis, and I even found hemorrhoids in there. I found hemorrhoids in there, man. I thought I'd never get hemorrhoids. It's under the curse, hallelujah. What was I doing? I'm not denying that thing is attacking my body, but I'm going to deny that it brings any fruit because Isaiah 54:17 says that no weapon formed against you will prosper. And I say it out of my mouth. That's Isaiah 54:17. I've been using that since I was a baby Christian. I've been slicing Satan up and down. When I found out in Ephesians over there that I could take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, I thought, man, I mean, I was kind of like Aiden with it. I got him a gun, you know. I told y'all about it. And boy, he wants some real bullets because he wants to do some destruction, he says. I want to destroy that bottle, Papa. Well, that's kind of the way I felt like back there when I found out the Word of God was like a sword against the enemy. I found out that I had power to do something about him other than just say, I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I started finding out that I needed to use my words, that when the enemy comes in at me, praise God, the Bible says that we resist the enemy and he has to go. Sometimes you need to tell him to shut up. I know one time I was going down the road and I was tormented. See, I was an angry man before I got saved. I was a jealous man before I got saved. And all kinds of different things, you know, and it torments you. That stuff torments your mind and messes up your life and your future and stuff, you know. And I found out that I had authority over Satan. I found it out mainly in the Word of God I was reading. And it says that Jesus stripped him of all power, made a show of him openly. Satan, he's talking about Satan. And then I read the scripture where Jesus said, I give you power. I give you power over all of the power of the devil. And he says, and nothing shall by any means hurt. You've got to believe that. If you don't, you won't pull the sword out. If you won't, you'll have to keep calling the 1-800 Facebook prayer circle. But I'm telling you, at 2 o'clock in the morning, or going down the road, if you get your heart lined up with God's Word, what He says about you, what you have in Him, and then you get up and you use it, I'm telling you, there's no powers of darkness can stand against one Christian. One that stands up in Jesus' name. And I mean takes authority, you know. Somebody called me the other day, reckon you can meet with us, blah, 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 and call. And I said, no, I can't do all of that. I said, listen to me. I said, what you need to do, I said, is you fast. I said, you fast. And you pray for that person. You intercede for that person. You quit saying those things about that. You do it. What am I doing? He said, I don't care to meet. That ain't no big deal. We have a little meeting and then it's over. Right? Make you feel better right quick. But boy, when you're going down the road and you're tormented by these thoughts and all of that, and you realize your mind is your mind and you have on the mind of Christ, and something's trying to replace the mind of Christ right quick in your situation, and you pull those thoughts down according to 2 Corinthians over there, and then I slid off the road. And I stopped, and people's going by. They're pulling off the road. They're like, what's going on, man? I jumped out of my truck, run around like somebody was in the other side. It was just me and Satan and the angel. I didn't really know right then that I had angels, but they were in there. I found out later in the Bible. See, I just believe that Bible. You got your angels in here right now. You got them in here right now. Well, I run around there and I opened that door up and I thought, you know what? I look stupid out in the world. Why not look stupid for Jesus? I'd do just about anything when I was out in the world. I wasn't ashamed to do anything. And now, since I got saved, I'm ashamed to pull over and open the door and tell Satan to get out of my truck, shut it, and get back in, going about my business. Well, that's exactly what I did. I told that story one time and a good Christian said, you don't have to do all that, Brother Scotty. And I said, maybe that's why you're tormented. By gollies, he got out and I don't remember him ever getting in that truck again. I think he figured, why would I get in? He's just going to throw me out anyways. Right? See, I know this sounds silly what I'm saying, but I'm telling you, when I found out about these things, I started using them. I don't have a lot of trouble with Satan. Even if he's using somebody else, you know, and I realized that, you know, according to Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. If Satan's using somebody against me, I don't wrestle against them. I don't get in that because now I'm getting in the ball game with Satan. Now I'm getting over in his court. But the Bible says overcome evil with good. So I try to utilize my words. This is going to work to my good. Romans 8:28. Aubrey and Aiden just got to carry out God's plan. I come in yesterday and Teresa, she said, this is the day. That's what's that? She said, we're going to let them get what they want. To get, she said, are you going? I said, nah. And so when they got back and went to the house, and Aiden's wrapping his and Aubrey's wrapping hers. They're wrapping. There's two kids that's mean to them at school. And what does the scripture say? Go bust the teachers. Go chew down the principal. Poor kid, my poor grandkids. I can't tolerate. You're in the flesh. Now you're trying to figure it all out. Well, Teresa come up with it. I told her, man, that's genius. I mean, I told him, Johnny, I said, just tell the kid that your papa will come to school if I need to. And then Teresa goes and gets some gifts. I teach it up here, Johnny. I don't teach go bust them. I teach overcome evil with good. Well, they get their gifts. And they get to carry them today. And they carried them gifts to the two kids in the school that's the meanest to them. That one asked Aiden, that little boy asked Aiden, what'd you do that for? And he said, we're bringing good over evil. We're bringing badness to goodness. And I told him, I said, the Bible says overcome evil with good. Well, the little kid gave him a hug, and I think they're best friends now. That's what he said. The little kid just, oh, it's just the best thing ever happened. And you bought him again. How many knows it works for a seven-year-old? It works. Overcoming evil with good. Hallelujah. Well, see, I can't believe that it works and not do it. See, you got people comes against you. I mean, it's terrible when somebody's against me. I mean, it tries to torment me, man. You know, I mean, I'm just like everybody else, you know, man. I mean, those battles are real. I want everybody to like me. I want everybody to be pleased with me. But according to Scripture, that's just not going to happen. Because it says if you live for Jesus, you live godly, you're going to have persecution. You're going to have that stuff. So you got to learn how to walk in faith in the middle of that stuff. We got to learn how not to be tormented for 3 weeks or four or whatever. You know? Well, see, our words has a lot to do with it. You know, I mean, I could have started saying, I'm telling you right now, they're not going to do my little grandkid like that. I'm not walking the floor. I'm telling you right now, calling up and calling Teresa. I'm telling you now, we're going to do something. I'm telling you. My words are styled against the Lord. Right? Come on, somebody. I know we're talking about kids in school. They're going to be okay. I mean, I sat out on a lumber pile in my underwear, you know, in the snow and was warmer than it was in the house. I mean, these kids are going to be okay. I'm okay, ain't I? I believe I am. My sister knows that she's sitting back there. Hallelujah. You know, but Jesus makes all the difference. When somebody is seemingly against you for no reason and all that, you know, see if it's good with the Holy Ghost and the Lord and bless them with some money. Had one of my sisters, natural sisters, mad at me one time over, I don't know what it was, probably stupid nothing. And the Lord said, well, what you going to do? I'm like, why don't you move on her, God? Touch her, God. Oh, just move on her heart, God. This is terrible, God. God said, I've already done it. He said, give her $100. I thought, oh, overcome evil with good. So I called her up. I said, where you at? I could tell, what do you want? What do you want? Them Westons are bad about that. I don't know about y'all's family, but some of the Westons. You know, but how many knows that the love, and how many knows that goodness breaks barriers of darkness in the spirit realm? Well, I said, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyhow, she said, well, I'll meet you down at Cleveland. Well, I pulled in down there at Cleveland, and I gave my sister $100. To my knowledge, that's been 3 years, two or three years. She's not been mad at me again. Man, that was cheap. That was cheap not to have somebody mad at you. That $100 just keeps on keeping on, keeping on, right? But you know what? I wouldn't get my confession of, oh, what's wrong with my sister, blah, 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 blah. No, our words are styled against the Lord. We live like we're this mere carnal Christians when we do that stuff. No, we got to get our thinking lined up. In Genesis over there, Abram, his name was Abram. And God told him, he said, I'm going to change your name. He said, you're no more Abram. He said, your name is Abraham. He changed his name, Johnny. How many knows every one of us got a new name? When you got born again, he gave you a new name. He gave you a new destiny. He gave you a new course of life. Hallelujah. And he told Abraham over there, I mean, Abraham was 90 years old, dude. 90. It's never too late with God. He was 90 when God told him, I've changed your name. You're a father of many nations. I'm going to establish my covenant with you. How many knows that covenant that he established with Abram changed his name to Abraham and come on down to Jesus in thy seed? He said, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's me and you, we're blessed. Well, that seed was his only son that he was going to sacrifice, but he said he believed that God would raise him from the dead because God said through your son. But I don't know if Abraham knew that that was talking about Jesus down there. He may have. But he told him, he said, your descendants are going to be great. Hallelujah. How many knows our descendants from this church is already great? Hallelujah. When we get done, I had a vision 30 years ago, and I saw me out, and I was leading like a pyramid of people, and it got wider and wider and wider till you couldn't see the end. You couldn't see for the ocean of people. But you know what I noticed? I was out front, but I was dressed the same as them. And then the first Mexican, Hispanic, whatever you want to call it, because I was racist and all that, and I never wanted to win any of them to Jesus. You know, I don't want to come to Jesus. I don't want to be doing good. Anyways, I did my sermon, and I think he was the first person I led to Jesus was a Hispanic guy. Bundio, his name was Bundio. Well, he goes off at the flea market a little later on, and he runs across this picture, and to my knowledge, he knew nothing about what I didn't share with nobody that. But anyways, he brings it back, and there's my vision on a painting. He seen that thing, and he said, I saw this, and I thought about you. And he got the vision. He brought the vision, and it just burned in my spirit. So you know where you're going. You're going on a journey, and when you enter into heaven, you're on it already, praise God, and there can't nothing stop you. That's why you got to get your words lined up with your words lined up with God's word and in your heart and coming out of your mouth and walk out and rebuke sickness. Rebuke it. Rebuke arthritis. Whatever they put a name on, then you come against it and you take it. I thought about it today. I thought, you know, Mark, I believe it was Mark or Luke. They were doctors. Luke. Dr. Luke. I don't see him practicing medicine after that. But I do see him laying hands on the sick and preaching the gospel. Right? Mark 16:17 says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. I lay my hands on myself. I'm a believer. Right? You're a believer. Well, then you get your anointing oil and you anoint your house. Take communion at your house. See, Jesus is not all religious. Aubrey, she's locked up there the other day and she said, Papa, no, there's up there. And she said, she's telling Aiden, Aiden, they're in the swimming pool. Aiden, did you want to get baptized? Aiden's like, nah, I don't think so. You know. And then before you know it, she talks him into it. So she baptized him in the swimming pool. And so he told me the other day, he said, when I get baptized this time, I want to stay on there a lot longer. I'm just going to hold my nose longer. Like that. Well, she told me, she said, Papa, she said, I want you to baptize me on my birthday in the swimming pool. Well, religious thinking would think, well, you better go to Gunnersville, or you need to go to the river, or you need to go. No, water's water, right? And so I thought I'm going to have a baptismal service at her birthday. I'm going to be in the pool with all these kids. And I'm going to baptize her right in front of them. And I'm going to win them to Jesus if it's possible. Hallelujah. And I'm going to ask any of the rest of the kids, any of y'all want to be baptized in the name of Jesus? Amen. Because it ain't about the birthday party. It is. We love little Aubrey. We celebrate her. We're going to celebrate her. She's going to get baptized. I'm going to baptize. My granddaughter, go back several years ago, I thought only Jesus can touch her. I mean, she didn't want you. I mean, you mentioned giving Jesus money. Oh, she ain't getting my money. Jesus ain't getting it. Now she's all in love with Jesus. Wanting to be baptized, wanting Papa to baptize her on her. What a special day that is. I'm going to have a big picture, you know, when I baptize her and stand up on a couple of them. You know, that's precious to me. Because I see her here a few years later, you know, wanting the things of God. Play the key. She just ain't got up and got the gusto to do it yet. Wants to play the keyboard. Aiden watches Monty Rock, and he wants to be a rock star like Monty. See, what me and you doing for Jesus is setting a light and example for the generation looking at us. Hallelujah. We're not here just playing a bass. I'm not here just preaching a sermon. I want our lives changed. I want God. I want a manifestation of God, not just in our church, but in our bodies at home, in the swimming pool, wherever we're at, on the rockers. Boy, I'm telling you, them two can draw a crowd. I don't know Aubrey. I don't know what Bess is, but it's... It catches my attention when they leave, and that one that you got, it's all cool. I mean, I'm shocked that Travis has killed that pride where he can ride with y'all. It takes a man to ride with them two girls. It takes a humble man, Johnny. Is she fixing you one? Johnny, like, I'm good with my little cap, but that's why I always like to ride with that. You know, but if they get Johnny, if anointing comes on them, Johnny, something's going to happen to you, man. I'm just telling you. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, but God wants us to enjoy life. Praise God. So tonight you declare war on sickness and disease. I'm doing it in my own body. I'm not telling you something I'm not doing. The Bible says in Psalms over, it says that long satisfied, He will give us long life. Satisfies with His salvation. And I tell the Lord every day, you know, because I have these thoughts. You're 58, your daddy died at 67, one day before his 60th day, you're not going to make it. I've even heard some of my brothers say that, I'm going to die about when Dad did. And I told one of them, I said, you better shut that up. 67 years old, we're promised 120 in that Bible. And the Bible don't say in Psalms, I'm going to give you long sick, long weak, long worried. He said long satisfied life. And I tell the Lord every day, in spite of my body. People don't even think I have aches and ailments. They don't hear it, Johnny. Why would I tell it? I'm not trying to hide it. I'm telling you right now. You know, I don't go around tooting that out there. That don't belong to me. Healing mine. Healing belongs to me. And therefore, praise, well, just like I think it was a Canaanite woman went and her daughter vexed, you know, all of that and wanted Jesus to heal. He said, it's not good for me to give the children's bread to the dogs. He called our healing children's bread. I think that's Matthew chapter 15. You can look it up. But he went on and told her, he said, man, what kind of faith? I'm parasized. But I've not seen this kind of faith. Be it done to the daughter was made whole. Wasn't even in covenant with God, but had faith. Had faith in God. Ain't that what the Bible says in Mark 11? Mark 11:22, I believe it is, says, have faith in God. If you study that, it says, have the faith of God. And the scripture says that me and you have it. The Bible says that me and you, according to the Apostle Paul, says every man has been given the measure of faith. So we, as Christians, when you're born again, you can't get born again without the faith of God. Faith of God comes in you that you are able truly to believe that Jesus Christ died on that cross. And then when you believe that and you receive that sacrifice that He made, you're born again of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. But he said, have faith in God. If you look at that word, it says, have faith in God. It says, have the faith of God. The God kind of faith. See, there's a counterfeit faith out there. There's a natural faith, you know. But true faith comes from the Word, according to Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I don't got time. I told Beth, I said, I've had a bunch of scriptures. I said, I probably won't get to none of them. I'm quoting most of them. But in Romans 17 over there, that's where Paul says about Abraham, he said, as it is written. And then it went on and it says that Abraham, against all hope, 90. Just imagine that. Sarah couldn't have kids. Abraham was 90. And God told him, it's going to come through your kids. That's awesome. Well, it goes on. Read it for yourself in Romans chapter 4. It went on and it says, as it is written. Then it went on and said, Abraham staggered not in unbelief. I don't imagine after that day that God told him that, I don't imagine you heard Abraham telling Sarah, we're never going to have kids, we're washed up, we're old. I don't imagine it. I can't prove he didn't, but according to Romans 8, Romans 4 over there, it said that he accounted God faithful to do what he promised. Right? So that tells me, I bet you after that, he said, woman, whoo, we've got a hope to God here. God's on our side. If God be for us, who can? He didn't have all them scriptures, I don't think. But I was thinking about it. I thought, man, this man took his body, 90, you might be sick. Woman with the issue of blood all them years. Then all of a sudden, here comes Jesus. Well, how many knows he's already come? He's already ascended. And gave gifts to men. Hallelujah. The Bible don't say it don't say that laying hands on the sick is just for preachers. The fivefold ministry. He said, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name they'll cast out devils. You're in his name. You know, I got saved and I didn't know anything. I knew a few things about going to church, this and that. And I'm there, you know, and I'm in that moment, you know, and I'm like, man, turn some preaching on or something. Something happened to me. When you get born again, something happened. Sure, I didn't know what happened. I turned that TV on, and that guy, he said, oh, get the anointing oil and anoint your house. And I thought, wonder what anointing oil is. That church I went to didn't have no anointing oil. I didn't know what. And I thought, wonder what that is. And then all of a sudden, he said, I'll just forget it. He said, go in there and get the Crisco out of your cabinet. And I thought, that's what we use. We use Crisco. I said, well, God, I got some Crisco. He said, an anoint. He said, just put it on your hand. He told me how to do it. Boy, I greased the whole house down. I'm talking about, I pulled out the ice trays and put it on them because I knew we drank sweet tea. And when Teresa come back, she was left. And, I mean, our life was bad. You know, and I thought she could get some ice and put in her sweet tea. So I just anointed the doors. The doorknob, I went outside. I thought, she's going to come in this, and it's greasy. You can't turn it. You can't turn the doorknob. I greased that house down. I thought, I just followed God right then. I just followed God. And I mean, the minute she touched that stuff, something happened. You didn't see nothing right then. I just believed the word that man was saying. That if you'll anoint your house, it'll break strongholds. It'll break Satan's strongholds. It'll break the back. So anoint your house. Put it over the doorpost like the Old Testament. Plead the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And you know what? Don't stay broke-minded. Well, I mean, if you just don't know what my situation is. No, but God does. Nobody knew what my situation was, but God did. God said, I see your situation, and that's why I sent Jesus Christ, and that's why I told you get in there and meditate on the Word so you can believe what the Bible says about you and preach to my people. See, he asked Peter, he said, do you love me? Y'all know the story. He said, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And I've asked the Lord before, remind me again. Why? Looking at the circumstances and people and come and start 70 and end up, you know, all kinds of stuff, you know. And then come to the point to where it's not about all of that. It's about the will of God in your life. Doing the will of God. You know, Jesus said over there in Matthew 6, I believe it is. Put that up there, Beth. You got it. Did I give it to you? Yeah. It says, therefore, take no thought, saying. You know what? The only way that a thought can manifest out of your mind is if you say it. Jesus said, don't say a thought. Right? He said, therefore, take no thought, saying what we're going to do. What we're going to eat, what we're going to... He's talking about life circumstances. And the Lord used this one name. He said, could I be like, I don't know if Teresa's, you know, she's close enough to the Lord, she won't run around on me or nothing. So I go home and I'm still the same old Scotty. You know what I'm saying? I'm taking those thoughts, going home, and I'm saying something about it. Right? And it's keeping me in bondage. Well, I made up my mind. I thought, she would be a fool to leave me. I'm anointed of God. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. You know, she'd be... I was doing this for me. I was doing this to... I was casting those... I stopped saying those thoughts. So I started saying, she'd be a fool to leave me, Satan. You might as well leave me alone. She ain't gonna leave me. She'd be a fool. She knows she's blessed. I'm blessed to have her. She's blessed to have me and blah, blah, blah. Now there's times when we'd be like, nah, it's not so. Not in a long time. Praise God. But take no thought saying, how are we going to get a house? How are we going to get our finance? Through the Bible. The Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you good measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. The Lord told me when I started this food ministry, it ain't got nothing to do. It works. It's principles. He told me when I started the food ministry, you know, He said, I want you to tell all of the ones here, you know, he said, bring a can of green beans or whatever, you know. Then after a couple of weeks of that, we're cleaning out our cabinets, bringing that stuff we don't eat. And I'm like, let me get in there. And then he said, bring stuff that you want. That's what Teresa did. She told the grandkids, she said, go in the store, let's go in the store and buy something you want, that you would like to have, and that's what you're going to give them. And so the Lord said, now, he said, when you give it, he said, when you give it, he said, I want you to lay hold of Luke 6:38. Give and it shall. So I started laying hold of it. I started saying it in the atmosphere, Lord, we give, and it shall be given to us good measure, pressed down, shaken together. We was giving away a bag or two a week, a month. How many are we giving away now? I didn't keep saying, boy, this is bad. I mean, it's just a little bit, y'all. Y'all got to understand. I would tell them, no, you better be praising Jesus for the little. Praise Him for the little. Praise Him. Praise Him for the little. What am I doing? I'm believing what He said to use Luke 6:38, and I'm not going what it looks like. I'm saying what He said. I was using my words. And then we went to a flatbed trailer. Then we went to a one-ton truck. And you know what? You're having issues with your little ride. Praise God. I told Monty one time, I said, Monty, he wanted to use my truck. And this guy drove it to Georgia and back, and transmission's messing up. Didn't mess up with me. You know, and Monty got, and I told him, I said, Monty, I said, now look at all these lights. I don't think there was any light that wasn't on. I done been driving a year or so. And so I don't let them bother me. While we're looking off, the thing's seen, you know what I'm saying? I use that scripture on them daggum lights. I mean, you know, it sounds silly, but I did it. So I told Monty, I said, look, just don't look at nothing. I said, don't look at the dash, don't look. I said, and if you need me to, I said, I can tape the lights up. He'll tell you, is that true or not? True story. It didn't give him a lick of trouble. He went on, and he looked like a little midget in that truck. It was a 2,500 long wheelbase. Me and him's little. Everybody's always like, you drive them big trucks. Travis does too. But you know what? I kept my words off of that. I kept my words on it. I told Travis one time, you know, I said, you're going to drive this, and I said, you better leave here in faith. Somebody told me the last truck I sold, they said, run me a test on that pump, fuel pump, run a test. Oh, yeah, it's going out. I said, thank you. I left and I said, you'll never go out on me in the name of Jesus. I'm not spending $500. I'm going to lose $500. I'm not. I command you to be blessed and I will sell you and you will be a blessing to those people too. This fuel pump will not go out. That fuel pump straightened up and every time my hand drove it, 40, 30. I drove that thing 70, 80 mile an hour down the road and I thought the blessing works. What was that? What am I telling you that? I'm not bragging on. I learned this out of your Bible that you say you read. The Bible says, as we have believed, do I believe God can heal my pump? Do I believe He can keep my transmission going? Do I believe I went in and my refrigerator's got water all over the floor and I thought, oh no, them things are $1,000, Mac. Why don't you believe God? It's more thrilling to me to get it healed. Keep my $1,000, right? Yeah. So I go over there and I lay hands on that right at her. I think it might have been right at her church. I laid hands on that. I said, I command you to work right in the name of Jesus. Yeah, the Lord said He rebukes the devourer for me. I'm a giver. And I will buy a refrigerator. And that refrigerator worked on until we got ready to get us another refrigerator. I think somebody else in here done it after they heard it. Huh? Oh, it was so, sweet little Sandy. Sweet little crying Sandy took authority over that devil over there. Yeah, devil. She didn't do that. But that's what some Christians do, the devil. Every time I go to do something, I mean one thing after another happens. I go to getting up. I go to going to church and my tire's flat. Pump it up. When I have a flat, I drive it on a flat. I'm going on. I'm not moving back. We got up above Gunnerville up there and went to a job and run over a big screw and traveled on Travis's truck and bless God, we ain't got time for this, man. So go get an impact and run a big old lag, wood lag down through the tire. We got it aired up, went on. Hallelujah in the name of Jesus. Believe God for the anointing. If I'd have had some bubble gum, I would have put it around it because it would stop it up. That kind of wisdom comes to people from God. In the time that it seems foolish, I mean, He'll give you some kind of wisdom that'll work. Praise God. I ain't going to be robbed, are you? I'm going to give this story and quit. I run over my tractor, my phone, and it crushed it. And Siri's the only way you can get in. Just, you can't move or nothing. All my contacts, all that. And I thought, man, that's not good, you know, and all that. So anyways, I'm like, told Teresa, I said, well, I'm going up there and get me a phone, you know. I get up there to the phone place. I'm on her little contract because I'm thinking on the way up there, I'll cancel the whole contract. You know, I'm not paying no $800 and making payments and all that on a phone, you know, and all I want is to answer my phone. It's my business. So I get up there and I said, I want the cheapest phone that you got. What's the cheapest? I said, I need to send emails. I have to email jobs and different things. That's great, man. Right in sitting in the truck. I spent 2 hours on our way to the job. I'm not wasting no time. I'm working. I don't have to sit in the office. Well, She said, well, we got this and right here. It's only 800. I said, that is not going to happen. I said, that's not going to happen. Well, I walked in. She said, can I help you? I said, I have a problem. Leave my phone. I said, that's not going to happen. I said, I'm not paying no 800 and something dollars for a cell phone. I said, that's just not going to happen. Well, miss, well, what's your number? I don't know what her numbers are. I said, I don't know what all the numbers are. I give her my phone. I said, look it up. I said, I'm on my wife's account here. I said, I did that for y'all. I said, I left, what was that, Walmart? I said, I left Straight Talk to come to y'all. I catch you, don't you? I said, that is not going to happen. I'm not paying $800-something for no stupid phone. Not calling your phone stupid, but it's stupid to me. Well, we got payment plans. I said, I'm rich. I said, I've got enough money to buy a bunch of these phones in my wallet. I said, that's not going to... I said, any of y'all got a used one you've traded in and y'all making payments on a new one that you want to sell? That's God's wisdom. Yeah. No, we don't. I said, okay. I said, all is good and all is well. I said, I'm going over to Walmart. I said, and if things don't go in my favor over there, I said, I don't want y'all mad at me. And I'm coming back here. I said, are y'all okay with that? Oh, yes. I said, okay. So I walk over to Walmart. And I thought, you were not going to rob me, devil. I got the money to pay cash for that phone. I'm not paying that for no phone. And so I go over there. See, they you got to have it right now. That's how they get you. I ain't got to have nothing. That phone ain't ringing tomorrow. I'm doing good. Leave me messages for a month. But God, and then I'll erase them all, and then you'll have to call me back, and I've had a month's vacation. Well, I go to Walmart. Now, see, these situations are going to happen in your life. And if you've got a mentality of you're not going to be robbed by the enemy, no given time, or nothing like that, and he works all things together for your good, and he's rebuking the devourer for you, these things that comes up to steal, kill, and destroy, and get you in a bind, and cost you money, you will have the advantage over. I go to Walmart, and I'm thinking, man, Teresa's going to be upset if I cancel that plan. I thought, I can buy her a whole new one, you know. And I thought, no, I just don't mess with that. So I go over here, and I said, she said, you got a problem? I said, I do. And I told her the same story. And I said, what is your cheapest iPhone? Oh, it's only, how much? I told her, I just come from AT&T over there, or whatever it is. I don't even know the name of it. I said, now come over here. I said, and I'm going to determine what I'm going to do here in a minute. And so anyways, I said, I want the cheapest iPhone you got. Oh, we got one for $700 and blah, 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 blah. I said, hold it. I said, that's not going to work. She said, well, I mean, you can make payments. I said, I'm rich. I don't make payments on phones. I quit making payments on anything. I stopped making payments. I'm done with payments. Like that, I said, I just need a phone. Well, that's the cheapest one. I said, any of y'all got a used one? Y'all making payments on your new ones in your pocket, your wallet, or whatever? You're making payments. I said, you got any used ones laying around? You want to sell one? Like that, she said, we got to walk and talk. I thought, what the crap's that mean? She said, come on. So I follow her out of Walmart. And I'm like, dear Jesus. And get around there and she said, you know, you can't talk business in that store in there, blah, 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 blah. And I said, oh, yeah. So what, you must have a phone. She had two of them. That 11 you got, I just got me a new one. I said, good. I'm fixing to pay some money on your new one. I said, now, how much you want? I said, because I got to get back over there before they close down here because I need my phone going. Oh, you ain't going to have to go nowhere, sir. I said, really? She's the technician in there over the phones. She said, give me that phone. She took the SIM out. She said, when you leave here, she said, it'll be on and up and going. You don't even have to go over there. I said, you're serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
I said, okay, how much you want for it?
$300,
something like that. I said, not going to happen. I said, two. I said, I'll give $200. I said, look, man, you're going to pay this toward your other phone, man. I'm $200. Would you give 2 1/4? I said, okay, fine. I'll give 2 1/4. I said, you just get me hooked up. She gets all of that hooked up there. And I'm telling you, this is the way God works things in our life. And then the Lord said, just give her $300. Because it wasn't about the money. I mean, she just saved me $500 and I gave her $300. She got more than what she wanted for the phone, and I'm a happy camper. I got it out of there for 2 1/4. Because the rest of it was my offering. Praise God. So I'm believing God to stop robbing y'all with them cell phones. And you got an anointing over that stuff. Hallelujah. So praise God. Let your words line up with God's word. Because God's word contains faith. There's faith in it. And faith comes up in your heart. And it's just a knowing. You're not going to be robbed anymore, man. God loves you. God's got a blessing for you. God's got favor for you. I mean, I'm sitting there and I thought, well, I'll go tomorrow. And Teresa, you better get on up there. I had to go right then. She just had clocked out of work, fixing to walk out of there, and I caught her at the desk. If I'd have went any other time, it wouldn't have happened. It was the identical phone that I got. Praise God. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody want prayer tonight? Anybody need prayer tonight before we dismiss? Didn't mean to keep you five over. Travis sang 5 minutes longer, evidently. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, let's stand to our feet. Has anybody got any announcements or anything?